Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Star locked up by Looney, throws it back to Poole. Five to shoot, off the screen, Poole. Back up, steps in, steps to his right, shoots, and hits a three.
So from having a great chance to go up seven, now you're up one.
104-103.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Saturday night got hairy for the Warriors. It was 100-100. The Warriors ended up outscoring them 15-5 in that stretch to win that basketball game at home to start off basically the Warriors over the next night, starting on Saturday, their next nine games. They don't even have to get on a plane. Eight of their next nine are at Chase Center, now seven of their next eight. And the one road game they do have, they get on a bus to Sacramento. Their previous eight of nine stretch, where they had eight games at home, the one road game they had was in L.A. at the Intuit Dome against the Clippers, a 45-50-minute flight down to LAX. So
it's a new drinking game. Anytime the Intuit Dome is referenced.
You love the Intuit Dome. Hey, they were getting on the Lakers yesterday, man. Lakers got blown out at the Intuit Dome yesterday. Clippers are – Kawhi. Kawhi's moving well.
Hate to see it happen to JJ.
Hey, Kawhi's moving well, Spadoni. Kawhi's moving well. But the Warriors do get the win over the Wizards. They were down seven at the half, and it was ugly. Wizards had a chance to go up double digits multiple times in that basketball game. And Jordan Poole was cooking.
Am I the only one that only could name a handful of Wizards?
No, you're not the only one. Even Bully goes on the air, is like, look, I'm going to lie. This is the first time I'm watching the Wizards.
Oh, good.
Like,
so yes. I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one.
They're a league pass team that nobody watches, right?
are you a league pass team if nobody's watching?
I mean, they're up 10, though. They took a 10-point lead.
They're
won
a league pass team that nobody's watching.
Dude, they're a league pass team nobody's watching, dog.
That
nobody's
means watching. They're not one.
Dude, nobody's watching them. But they had some numbers. I mean, just look at how bad they are. Look at how much. This is actually, I like bad teams because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to bad teams.
Blazers.
I could do 4 hours of content on the Blazers.
I'm happy with bad teams.
I could. Being a poorly run organization.
I could cover a bad team. Listen, they had their worst record. I'd rather be the White Sox.
Call cap on that because what? The Giants showed that they were going to be mediocre.
No.
And you waved the white flag like a
meme. Well, that's mediocrity. We're talking about like bad.
I like bad. Okay.
Yeah. 500 baseball? No. It's like you're not good enough. You're not bad enough. No, you got to be bad. Like the White Sox, I could have survived in Chicago talking about the White Sox every single day and taking calls. I could have survived. Like the Warriors, it's a great timeout. Warriors, I would have been great for that. I would have been great during that
era.
Look
at David Wood.
Man, what? So anyway.
Avery Johnson's coming back for the 17th time.
My boy Craig Hoffman out there in D.C., he's happy with the Commanders right now. He works on our system.
I'm happy
out
with
there.
Jaden Daniels.
Well, look, the Wizards last year, worst record in franchise history, 15-67. They also became the 15th team in NBA history to have a winless month. They went 0-12 in February, and then this next season, they go 0-4 in November. Ugh. So, listen, they got the number two pick. Alex Sarr is a hell of a prospect for France.
Oh, I like
7
him.
Feet, I like him a lot. I like Koulibaly. They got some talent. They got some young talent there.
And they want to get the, you know, what everyone's calling, not me, you know, some version of Larry Bird in Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, they want to poop for Coop. That's what they all want to do, poop for Coop. So their record.
He's not Larry Bird. I want to see everyone's heads explode.
He's more athletic.
He is good though.
No, but that's what people are saying. He's the ACC Larry Bird. And I'm like, so just careful when we throw that.
He's the great white hope. That's what he is.
Well, we do this all the time.
We did it to Adam Morrison at one point, even though he was more of a shooting guard.
NBA champion Adam Morrison.
So the past 2 years,
I started crying before you finished that sentence.
Past 2 years, Wizards 21-100. 21-100.
Wow.
Their winning percentage of 174. So they're a bad basketball team. And the fact that the Warriors are in the tight ball game with the Wizards speaks glowingly of where the Warriors are at right now. Right now where they're at, they don't have Kuminga, and they're probably going to be without Draymond Green. And obviously after the game, the pool situation took over everything. Took over everything.
So can we have a quick question here? Draymond got hurt, went to the locker room. It didn't look good. Then he came back, and he was yucking it up on the sidelines. That was the fastest I've ever seen someone get back onto the sidelines and sit down. I don't think he got
back on the sidelines till like late third quarter, though, fourth quarter.
Yeah, but usually if you get hurt, you just don't come back.
You just don't come back. Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, is that...
Some guys come back, some guys don't.
I didn't know. I didn't know. That's what I was asking.
I don't know what that was about. But you know, the Warriors do get the win. They get the win barely. Brendan Podziemski, by the way, stopped by Fitzibuki. He was talking. I don't know when he's coming back with the right abdominal, but he was in the booth in the second quarter. That's how seriously everybody took the Wizards. It's like, yo, we got players broadcast. Let's do it all. And yet, by halftime, you're like, oh, snap, we're in the game. You got to play well in the second half to win this game.
That's indicative. Got to play well. You got to play well every game to be in every game.
Well, the Warriors right now, they can't overlook anybody. That's proven. Like the Miami double overtime. Spinotti's like, yo, Ponte, they got this. I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then you see them losing to Toronto. We're looking at the roster. Toronto's like, damn, they got some players. When you look at roster for roster, like, damn, they got some players. Let's go to Richard and Burley game, man. Richard, what's up?
Hello, can you hear me?
I got you, Richard.
Okay, yeah. You know, Bonte, you were talking about confrontations, and probably about 5 years ago or so, maybe six, I was at a job where there was an employee who got off his shift, and I was starting mine. And, you know, I was still a bit of a manager, so I had to go and ask this guy something. And he got out of the car, and he started yelling at me and stuff and said a few, you know, swearing a little bit. So I remember for months I was uncomfortable seeing this guy. And even when he came around, you know, like I didn't want to be around him if nobody was there. So, yeah, it changes everything. And he didn't punch me, but man, it just changes the whole dynamics of being with that person when that happens. Because when someone starts yelling at you and, you know, it seems threatening, you just don't trust the person, and it makes you uncomfortable. So I know what you're saying. That's why I called.
Good call. You know, one thing that I think we all underrate is how much, even if they're like adults and they have families, you're together a lot. And it's the road trips in particular. And when you have 25 to 30 people on a baseball team, and then let's say 10 to 12, you know, coaches, these are guesstimating here, you can get clicked up a little. And so if you have a beef with somebody, there's enough people to where there can be some separation. Not all the time. It's just a lot harder when there's 12 with like six or seven coaches.
Yeah.
It's just harder. It's harder to avoid someone. It's harder for people to click up and not feel alienated or being on the outside. And that's why chemistry and dynamics and not that you have to be best friends. No one is saying you got to be best friends, but you got to kind of at least stand each other a little.
Well, that year with the Warriors, you talk about team chemistry, 2022, 2023, and really you could see how well a team is playing when they're playing on the road. That year the Warriors were 11-30 on the road. So it just tells you, on the road, away from home, they struggle mightily. Chemistry, are you hanging out together? Are you on separate flight? Or, you know, are you guys watching film together? Are you sitting next to each other? Where's your lockers at? What's going on here? How do you navigate that? And that was indicative to me that season. When they went 11-30 on the road, and I always circle back to that first five-game road trip, they didn't win a single game. And I said, oh, boy. Yeah, this chemistry may be a problem this season. And it was. They ended up going 44-38. They beat Sacramento. Steph with 50, went crazy, no doubt. He saved the season with that one. And then they lose to the Lakers, and it was just lackluster. It was just guys were getting inconsistent minutes. The offense was clunky. The chemistry wasn't there. And they lose. And they lose with the spacing. So they lose to the Lakers at 6. So it is sad where they win a championship in Boston. I swear to God, Shasky, I came back from the European extravaganza. I'm like, boy, the Niners are going to be rolling. The Warriors are going to go back-to-back. We'll see what the Giants. But I was like, life is good. And then the incident happened. And this franchise, slowly but surely, just has not been able to reach that point of where they could play sustained basketball at a consistent level. We've seen glimpses, but it hasn't been consistent.
I keep coming back to the Celtics series. I've been thinking about it a lot. They're playing the Celtics today.
Mm-hmm.
So much has changed since that championship. I was at the Garden for Game 3 and Game 4. This is one of the greatest sporting experiences of my life. Draymond was unplayable in Game 3. Draymond was unplayable for large stretches of Game 4. Now, Steph Curry had one of the greatest games I'd say a Barry athlete has ever had with the season on the line. It's up there with any Joe Montana moment. It's up there with any Barry Bonds moment. The Lincecum, you know, pick who you want in terms of playoff performers. It's one of the greatest games of all time. They lose that series. I am convinced we come out of that series saying Draymond's got to go because he was so bad. Now, he made some defensive plays late in Game 4 down the stretch, but they went on a run when he got hurt. Got in foul trouble. That's when they went on a run. And I'm telling you, man, like, he got kicked out of that Grizzly game, and Ja ended up getting hurt in that series.
They won that game, the one he got kicked out of.
Yes.
The Warriors won that one.
I just, you lose, and things look different. When you win, we kind of overlook some of the imperfections, and everything gets filed under winner guy, you know? And I just, I'm telling you guys, you're afraid to acknowledge the obvious.
No, I don't think anybody is. I think we've taken calls for years on Draymond. But, you know, I'm looking at the game now, Game 4. Wiggins checked in for Draymond. It was 90-86 Boston, 7:32 left. Now, Boston ended up going 90. They ended up going up 97-90. Excuse me, 94-90. And then, obviously, they make the run without Draymond. And he ends up coming back in with 3:41 left.
How much?
3:41 left in the game. So he sat about 4 minutes of that game, 4 minutes of that stretch. But the pivotal stretch was when he did leave the game to go on a run. As Clay hits a three, Wiggins made a two. Curry hit a floater. And then Draymond did come back in, and he had some great moments down the stretch.
Yeah, the strip.
At 3:41. So, you know, he did make plays during that championship season, but you also saw Looney come onto the scene. You saw what you had with Wiggins. Okay, Kuminga's going to be waiting in the wings. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think you had to run it back that season. I hear what you said. If they lose,
everything's
on the table.
Exactly.
Everything's on the table, but they didn't lose. And they won with the sending talent. And I'm thinking, boy, Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, a pool on top of the veterans, what, in their fourth? Oh, man, this could be popping next year. I swear to God, I thought they were going back to back. And media day, the vibes were immaculate, and the vibes weren't so immaculate on that fateful day in training camp.
But the next year, you don't win.
You don't.
And we just, everything was pinned on Jordan Poole,
yep.
You know, and everyone.
And Clay.
And Clay. No, you're right. At the end of the year, for sure.
And Clay led the league in made threes, and people on this station were saying he had a terrible season.
And then the next year, it was even more so on Clay.
Right.
And so.
Scapegoating.
I'm talking about scapegoating. But, you know, look, I'm not trying to say, like, I've been consistent, but the reality is that he brought a lot to the table, and I was willing to tolerate a lot of the shenanigans because he was that good. And a couple of years ago, that time passed for me, and I was just ready to move off him. And I just think that there's more detriment and roster configuration to appease his ego and his playing time that's not worth the squeeze.
Let's go to Cam in Antioch. Cam, what's up?
Yes, 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 yes. How y'all doing today?
What's up, Cam?
I'm good, man.
What's up? I've been waiting to talk to y'all, man. I didn't know y'all had the 2-day limit. But let me ask y'all a question. How long do I got to talk so I know what points to make and what
just
I need
go.
To
just
say?
Just go. The floor is yours, Cam. The floor is yours, Cam. As long as you don't call me a liar.
Well, hey. Now, okay, please don't cut me off. I'm not going to curse. I know I'm
Good, like, Cam. I'm joking, Cam. You're a good guy.
I like Cam and Antioch.
I do like Cam and Antioch a lot.
You just said y'all don't want to talk about the real problem. That's crazy. So that second year after the next year after we won the chip, what did Kerr do? Who did he play in the playoffs in the finals? He played Moody and Kuminga over Lamb and Jerome. The next year, he played Lamb and Jerome over Moody and Kuminga. Put the two rookies back on the bench. Played Kojo, giving them Benjamin is DMPs. And that's, no, I ain't gonna say that's when, but that's when Kuminga started like, hold on, I'm doing good sometimes and I'm not getting play. The problem is Kerr. We were winning when we didn't have these small lineups every single time. I understand sometimes it might have been beneficial when we were athletic and we were moving the ball and we were doing our thing and had shooters. We had Belicia, we had Otto Porter. We were doing good. But after we won the chip, I know Jordan Poole Draymond situation messed up a lot of things. So I understand that. But I don't understand the front office. If they knew they was going to get rid of Clay, why would they trade Jordan Poole for Draymond? I mean, instead of Draymond. I ain't going to lie. I just had so many good points, and I just forgot what I got on.
Hey, Cam, let me ask you something, man. How much weed you smoke before you call us, man? It's all good. I can't. I enjoy your calls a lot.
I've been drinking a little bit, man.
You drinking this early? Why are you drinking so early, Cam?
I'm a night shift man, so feel me. This is my nighttime right now.
Oh, man. So then you just pass out, huh, during the day. I get it. I get it, man.
Right.
I get it.
What I wanted to say was...
It's too early to drink, man. Drink responsibly.
What I wanted to say was, Bonte, who was your favorite player growing up?
Mine, I was a big Hakeem and Michael Jordan fan. Hakeem Olajuwon, though, I loved. Everybody's favorite player was Jordan, I feel like. But Hakeem Olajuwon was my guy.
Okay, so if the coach for Hakeem Olajuwon was every time Hakeem started getting hot, dunking a ball, blocking shots, he get pulled out by his coach, you will feel a certain type of way. If every time Hakeem had a chance to do something. I just remember the Lakers series. Kerr did not play Kuminga until like the last game faithfully, and Kuminga was showing very much promise. It really be the rotations and the things he does. There was no reason for CP3 to be closing games with those tiny lineups. He is pushing Steph Curry to the shooting guard position, and that's already a detriment to our team. He's saying Moody is going to run the four. We have Gee Santos. I know Anderson is out right now, but it is the things that Kerr is doing that holds us back. We have a cool team right now, and that's all really Kerr needs to go crazy, but he's not being put in a position to win.
So let me ask you this question. The greatest coach of all time, whoever you think that is, Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, pick whoever you want. How many games better is this team with the greatest coach of all time? A couple, maybe?
We'll be in a 60-game area.
Cam, you gotta... Whoa. You can't.
I don't think this is a 60-win roster.
Cam, we gotta
Am
lay
I
off
wrong?
The, we gotta lay off the bottle early in the morning, man. Morning drink is just not good.
Well, he's
not
a graveyard
for you, Cam.
Shift guy.
Nah, I hear that, but Cam's calls, last couple calls, man, it's just,
you know,
Cam,
right before I put
the baby
to bed, he gets a little goofy. I call it the goofy hour.
It's delusional.
Yeah, exactly. And like the laughing and the crying, it's all blended into one. Yeah. We might be in the goofy hour.
They're not very good.
I like my takes.
You guys, man. By the way, the 95-70 game knockout tournament is back. The second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament. You get a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center. The throne reigning champion, Mark Grandy.
He's not that good.
Mark Grandy?
It's a joke. That was me playing into the drop. Because I know he's probably
Reds are frauds to me. Even though they won the damn Super Bowl, they were frauds that year. Damn it. got a little too cold for the LA Rams yesterday. A little too soft. Got a little too cold for the Rams yesterday.
I mean, there were two plays away from maybe winning.
That's what I'm saying.
Got a little too cold, yes, though. Okay. Shouldn't have came down to two plays. Should have been up in that game.
It looked like it got cold for the Eagles late.
Fumbling the football, dropping passes. Got a little too cold out there. A little too cold. I do like Verse, though, for Florida State. Damn.
Do you think the cold was the reason they lost that game?
No. They take care of football.
There you go.
Take care of football. Got a little soft.
Worst knockout moment, was it Daryl the Guru Johnson last year getting eliminated in the first opening tip, or Mark Andrews dropping the 2-point conversion?
I was going to say Jared Goff getting blasted on that interception. He got cracked. Oh, man. And then they went to Teddy Bridgewater, and we all thought the same thing. This game is over, right? They ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive.
Man, by the way, the contest starts Monday, January 27th for your chance to win a spot in the knockout tournament. It all begins Monday, January 27th. You have 3 weeks to qualify. You have to be 18. And you have to be a California resident. TC and Sac. What's up, TC? What's going on, bro? Sacramento Kings, big win yesterday against the Wizards.
Nah, man, you know what? Listen, man, we ain't even finna jump in hoop and holler. And I'm just saying,
we can do that with me. Hey, TC, I love hoops. Hey, the Warriors got Sacramento Wednesday, baby, the G1C. Get your game right. Ain't no beans being lit Wednesday night, buddy. You better bring it.
Hey, we going to bring it. A bean is going to be lit. We ain't worried. Listen, we got that win against the Wizards. Wednesday game is going to be juicy, Bonte and Joe.
Hey, TC,
man.
You know I don't duck the smoke. I ain't forgot the 30-point beat down at Chase Center a couple weeks ago. You better be lucky I was off that Monday.
You guys making a bet?
You better be lucky I was off that Monday, TC. I heard the smoke. The streets told me. Hey, the streets told me you called KC D'Lo trying to come up with boy Shasky talking that talk. Hey, TC, man, I'm coming for you.
Man, Shaq. Nah, Kishowski, man, he started talking about Kings talking. I was just calling Joe. You know what I was calling on, bro. You know what I was calling on. Joe got on there talking about, we don't want to hear Kings. We don't want to do that. I said, come on, Joe. Hey, but look, I called with the, hey, I got to agree with the homie, though, even though, listen, he was drinking. No, listen, that's, I'm not really worried about that. But what he was talking about, Vontae and Joe, was real. I truly believe, bro, y'all should have kept Jordan Poole. If y'all wasn't going, like, getting rid of Clay, Poole should have stayed, bro. Y'all should have figured out with Draymond. If not, y'all should have kept him, bro, and just try to figure that out later on because y'all missing Jordan Poole right now. I think if y'all had Jordan Poole, bro, it would y'all have a little more edge. I know it's Kerr and the lineup, Moody and all that. Y'all know better about the Warriors than me, bro. But what I can see from afar looking at this, from down the highway, y'all should have kept Jordan Poole, bro.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt, TC. No doubt. Let's squeeze in. We got one time for one more. Luis and Napa. TC, bro. Wednesday's going to be fun, Shasky. Kings, Warriors, man. Buckle up.
What's up, bro?
Luis, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I love to hear you guys in the morning. My way to work. So it's always awesome to hear you guys. But I don't know if you guys saw the or heard or saw the comments that Steph said where he said, you know, we're trying to figure it out. And obviously with Jonathan Kuminga out, I feel like they're trying, at least the last two games, they're finally seeing something that they haven't seen the last few times, which was more open spacing for their players, for Moody, for Andrew Wiggins especially. So with that in mind, how do you guys think maybe the trade deadline or maybe if they get Kuminga back, they can start winning some games? What do you guys feel?
Yeah, I think Kuminga was playing his best basketball of his career. They miss him. He does something on his team that nobody else can do, getting to the lane, a 10-foot midi, going to the basket, dunking on people's heads, getting to the free throw line.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Kuminga. I do think they can win some games, but boy, this stretch. What are they going to do until JK comes back? I guess that's the biggest question I have right now. Can they do some trades here on the margins? I don't know who's available. We're going to see Vucevic, by the way, Thursday when the Bulls come to town. So a lot of people get their Vuk takes off.
And Zach LaVine.
Yeah, and Zach. Well,
play the Avril LaVigne.
Look, I look at Kobe White.
I love it when you do
Kobe White. Kobe White is the guy, but the Bulls will never trade him because he has a very good team friendly contract. Kobe White is the guy. Kobe White is legit. He's kind of like Poole. First step, blow by ability, pull up from three. Damn, the Warriors need some of that. Anyway, we'll talk more Warriors. We'll talk Celtics and Warriors coming up with Jermaine Wiggins on the other side on the River Islands guest line. Jermaine Wiggins, new Super Bowl champ. WEEI, the Greg Hill Show out there in Boston. Our good friends. I still get their stuff on Instagram. They're doing a great job out there. They had Mike Vrabel in studio. Did we ever get Shanahan in studio? Steve Kerr's studio?
Possibly. The Jermaine Wiggins effect.
Jermaine Wiggins effect is real. Got Vrabel on the show. All right, that's coming up on the game. Brought to you by Safeway.
Now now back to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph. That was a couple years ago on a great Tuesday night. That was a Tuesday night at Chase Center. Warriors are down a slew of points here. I remember they were down like 20, I want to say. TNT game. December 19th, the Tuesday, December 19th. Curry scored 33 and out when they won in overtime against the Boston Celtics, who would go on to win the championship. But they were down 17 in that basketball game. And the Warriors did win it. That game, they won it without Draymond Green. Kuminga was at the four spot. He had 17 and 7. Klay Thompson with 24 points. Looney started 6 rebounds off the bench. Saric, TJD, they were solid as well as Moses Moody. Then earlier this season, when the Warriors took out the Celtics, they won on their parquet floor. The parquet floor out TD Garden, 118 and 112. But it was a little caveat. I'll give them that. Jaylen Brown did not play. Kristaps Porzingis did not play. So we'll see who plays for the Celtics today. In the early start time out here on the West Coast, 2 p.m. start. But whenever we have a chance to play a Boston team, whether it's the Red Sox, the Celtics, or the Patriots, there's only one guy we want to talk to, because he's got the pulse of everything in New England. We love the accent. He knows about the West Coast. He shows us love out there on the East Coast. Jermaine Wiggins joining us on the River Islands Guest Line as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Of course, Jermaine Wiggins with our sister station out there at WEEI in Boston, the Greg Hill Show. Of course, the Super Bowl tight end. And Jermaine, good morning to you. Long time no talk. We miss you. We love you. And I'm looking on Instagram last week. I'm saying, how the hell did they pull Mike Vrabel into the studio at WEEI in Boston? Oh, wait, Jermaine Wiggins, he's got the pull out there. He's got the street cred out there. And he's able to get the head coach of the Patriots in studio. How, Jermaine, how?
First things first, I love the Bay Area in Frisco, unlike Sir Charles Barkley. I'm going to say I like to get hyphy. But, when you got a relationship with Vrabel, and I think we've had a pretty good relationship at WEI, especially the Greg Hill Show, with all the head coaches from Belichick to Gerard Mayo now to Mike Vrabel, we're able to have that capability, and the Patriots do a great job of giving us the access to have a guy like Vrabel on our show. And we're excited over here in New England for what's going on with the Patriots and Mike Vrabel and new head coach Drake May, and we're looking for great things to happen. So we are extremely excited about the direction that we are headed in as an organization.
You had obviously one of the greatest games ever in playoff history for the New England Patriots in that snow game. And I'm watching these games over the weekend, and it made me honestly think about Bill Buckner. Now, I think Mark Andrews is better in his sport than Bill Buckner, but everybody remembers Bill Buckner for the big gaffe, even though there were other reasons why they lost that World Series. I mean, this guy had the most touchdowns ever in a season in his entire career this year. He's the all-time franchise leader in touchdowns. And he not only had the drop at the end, he also had the fumble. So as a former playoff legend tight end, what was going through your head watching that?
I mean, that's that's a routine play you got to make. But that's the nature of the beast. When I was in Carolina playing for the Carolina Panthers, we lost in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 38, to the Patriots, and John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds and gave Brady a short field, and they ultimately went down and scored a touchdown. I mean, you guys know from being in the Super Bowl a few years ago, a couple bad interceptions by Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's the outcome of the game. You remember, and that's the unfortunate thing. You remember those plays. I mean, here in New England, the 17-0 season, we remember the David Tyree catching off the side of the helmet, and then Ellis Hobbs giving up the sluggle to Plaxico Burress. But those are the things that in Baltimore they're not going to forget, because you make that play, the game's tied. Who knows what's going to happen? Momentum is swung. You're Baltimore. You put a great drive together, and this is your opportunity, maybe heading into overtime, to have a chance to win that football game. But that's a play that Mark Andrews is going to be thinking about that forever, especially when you have an opportunity to put your team in a position to where they can advance.
Before we get into the Celtics and what they're doing this season, obviously winning the championship last season, looking at this Final Four, you get the Eagles and the Commanders, and I love that run game with the Philadelphia Eagles. I love their offensive line play, although Jaden Daniels is doing this thing with the Commanders. And then you got the Kansas City Chiefs in their seventh straight AFC title game. How does it play out, Jermaine? Looking at the Final Four, I like the Eagles to win the Super Bowl because I think they're the best team in the trenches, but Jalen Hurts concerns me with his knee injury. What do you like here over the Final Four over the rest of the season here in the NFL playoffs?
Well, remember, the Eagles and Commanders that already played twice, they split. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. I think the Jalen Hurts injury, because he was basically a statue in the pocket yesterday after he got hurt. And, you know, Saquon Barkley, I just don't get it defensively. Put eight guys in the box, make Jalen Hurts beat you. Jalen Hurts got to prove that he can beat you throwing the football. Mm-hmm. But I'm not betting against Kansas City because Mahomes has the Brady factor. And until somebody can knock him off the throne, I'm not going against Kansas City because he makes way too many plays. I mean, the touchdown throw to Travis Kelce where he's falling down and basically able to get away with it. Then he's going to get a couple calls. That's the nature of the beast. He's got the Jordan effect. Mm-hmm. When you're that great of a player, you're going to have to deal with some of the referees. So I'm not betting against him at all when it comes to the AFC Championship and then the Super Bowl until somebody proves that they can beat him. I love what the Eagles are doing. I think Josh Allen's having a great year, but it's still Mahomes until somebody knocks the king off the throne.
Yeah, I know. That guy. When I was watching, through my prism, Niner fan, Montana, Walsh, like they're the greatest, right? And I'm watching you guys win all those Super Bowls, and I was just so reluctant to give Brady any love, even though he was from these parts. So reluctant to give Belichick any love. And eventually I just tapped out. I'm like, dude, they're so good. But I'll admit, I rooted against you guys. You know, I didn't want him mm-hmm. to get the four Super Bowls that Montana had. And so are New England fans, like, rooting die hard against Mahomes? He has three Super Bowl wins, been to four. If he wins this one, it's three in a row. You guys never would have done that. Four before the age of 29, be in five Super Bowls. They've been in, what, seven straight conference championships? Like, mm-hmm. New England fans have to be rooting hard against Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Oh, we hating big time over here. Yeah, we hate big time. We do not want to see Patrick Mahomes win another one, you know, because then it gets closer to the conversation of, you know, obviously the greatest quarterback of all time. But if they continue to win and they're able to do it over Mahomes' career, then it becomes the greatest franchise of all time. So, yeah, we in these parts, I mean, we already hate it as it is, but we hate it big time on Mahomes. We do not anybody but Mahomes, and we are happy. But yeah, we definitely drinking that haterade, and we're trying to spread it as much as we can. But I told you, until somebody knocks the king off the throne, I don't know who's going to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's gonna
I just
be tough.
Don't know.
Going to be tough.
Yeah.
Three
tough.
In a row?
Jermaine Wiggins.
Are they really going to win three
yeah,
in a row?
Yeah, Jermaine Wiggins here on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. All right, switching over to the hardwood. Celtics are in town. We always love when the Celtics are in town. A lot of Celtic fans come to Chase Center, and it's always a fun game between the Warriors and the Celtics. Obviously, the Warriors got the one early on in November. You guys had some guys out, but just looking at the Celtics recently, over the last, six, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, it feels like they're in a bit of a malaise here. Would you call it a championship hangover? Is it injuries? What have you seen from the Celtics this season, Jermaine?
Well, you know, they're like, at one point they were 7-7 in their last 14 games, and then they ended up splitting. So, you know, it looks like they're 8-8 in their last 16 games. The thing that I get from watching this Celtics team, it's they're bored, you know, especially against some of these teams that are on a lower level, that are beneath them. And thing, you know, long NBA season, you guys probably dealt with it, you know, those years that Golden State was at the top of the heap. It's some of these games you go up against teams and you get a little bit bored, and it's, you know, you're playing every other night, you got back to backs, and guys are just out there and they're just kind of going through the motions. So it's more of that than anything. I'm not concerned one bit because, you know, the starting five hasn't played together pretty much all mm-hmm. season long. They're just starting to get to, you know, get that chemistry back with Porzingis. And, you know, Tatum's playing at an MVP level. And, you know, Jaylen Brown's getting incorporated back into, you know, some of the new roles that he's in. And so for me, I'm not really too concerned. I think it's a little bit more of that. And then I think they're so reliant on the three-point shot that, at times, they can kind of just, you know, they're like, all right, at the end of the game, those shots will fall. And unfortunately, they're averaging about almost 50 threes mm-hmm. a game, and they're only shooting 36%. So, you know how that goes. I mean, the Golden State Warriors started all this nonsense with three-pointers. I'm here as Adam Silver, and I'm going to fix it. Let me tell you how you fix the three-pointers in the game. It's simple. The only time – everything is a two-pointer until the last 5 minutes of each half. So the last 5 minutes of the second quarter and the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter is when the three-point line comes into play. Don't have to change the court. Don't have to move the three-point line back. That's how you fix the issue.
I kind of like that.
Wow, so that's not a bad idea.
I like the one where it's like 3 points for anything in the paint. You get 1 foot in the paint at minimum, and anything inside the paint is worth three. But I'm open to anything. Hey, remember in the finals when the Boston crowd, game three and game four, was just chanting at Draymond Green, you know, screw you, Draymond, and that's being nice, okay? You know, he's a very controversial character for a lot of reasons, and a lot of Warrior fans are kind of turning on him. Obviously, the Jordan Poole punch going way back. Jordan Poole made his appearance at Chase Center on Saturday. He says in the locker room, and I'm paraphrasing, hey, I like those guys. Well, I like some of those guys. And then that gets tweeted out, and Draymond tweets back, I really am sorry. I really am sorry is what Draymond tweets out to that particular quote. What's your thoughts on that, on the whole thing? Draymond Green, him tweeting out an apology years after, the Jordan Poole, the punch, like former athlete, just give it to me all.
Well, like Draymond was a dirty player. You know, he wanted to be like a Bill Laimbeer type of player. And I'm betting because he grew up in the Michigan area. So I'm betting I believe he grew up in the Michigan area, right?
Yeah, Saginaw, yep.
State, right?
Yep.
So obviously he probably saw those Bad Boys fists as a young kid playing up. And he kind of turned into this, you know, say what it is. He was a dirty play. He did, it was cheap shots, you know, doing things that were knucklehead out there as a player. And it was kind of, you know, when he's on your team, you love it. I mean, I've seen that before as a Celtics fan and a Boston fan. When you got that guy on your team, you love it. But sooner or later, some of those antics catch up with you, especially when you ain't doing what you used to be doing on the court. You know what I mean? When you're not that same defender, you're not that same rebounder, you're not that same guy. And I think some of that stuff, and then when you see it amongst his teammates, you know, sucker punching, why am I drawing a blank
Jordan
on?
Poole, Jordan Poole.
Yeah, Jordan Poole. And some of those things, you're like, come on, you know, I know guys get into it, and I think maybe he's grown up a little bit, and he's kind of saying, you know, some of that bad behavior, you know, was me just being young, wild, and kind of a knucklehead. And hopefully he's learned from that. I think that's the biggest thing. But I think that's kind of a lot of players might have looked at him like that and kind of have that bad taste in his mouth. So if you're Jordan Poole, maybe one day, you know, they'll be able to kind of put water under the bridge. But that was Draymond's MO, even though he's kind of cleaned up a little bit, you know.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been the same since that incident, Jermaine. Before that incident, obviously they beat the Celtics in six. We're in Boston. Mm-hmm. We're having fun. We're laughing at you guys. We're talking trash back and forth. I'm thinking, boy, the Warriors are going to go back to back. But since that incident, things have just not been the same. And now Poole's gone. And you look at this league and you talk about spacing and pacing and having shooters. Well, they lost two good shooters. Jordan Poole's shooting over 40% from three. And the legend Klay Thompson's gone now. And he got scapegoated as having a bad attitude. So things have just not been the same. And I'm not sure you recover from things like that in organizations. I just don't, Jermaine. What do you think?
Well, don't worry about it, because based on the rumors and the hugs and all that, LeBron might be coming to town and bringing Bronny with
him. Oh, man.
We don't want Bronny. No, I want to ask you about Bronny. I want to ask you about the Bronny thing. No, I find this interesting. Like, it's one thing, because I saw, like, the Griffies were coming out there, and I go, well, wait a minute. Like, Ken Griffey Sr. was a stud and played with the Big Red Machine. His son was drafted number one overall, okay? He was so good, he was taken number one overall. Like, LeBron's got a lot of equity, and a lot of it he's built up and everything. I don't know. The whole thing didn't sit well with me. I feel like he was setting his son up for a lot of hate.
Let me tell you something, Jermaine, about Shasky over here. I had to hear from him all offseason about getting LeBron in the Warriors uniform and Bronny. I said, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. And then all of a sudden that happened. Now Shasky's turned his back completely on LeBron.
Well, it's one thing to get your kid like in the organization as an undrafted free agent. It's another for them to prioritize him in the draft when he didn't even play in college. I mean, come on.
I would say this. Hey, don't be mad at Bronny or LeBron.
I always say this, be mad at your mama that she didn't have a type of daddy that gave you some of them LeBron jeans. Like, that's the way I look at it. If Bronny has, like, we all know Bronny probably should have stayed in school and did that. But when your dad is who he is, and he has that capability, and he has that ability to pull some strings, hey, you can't hate on it. You know, it's like somebody who, you know, who ultimately becomes a billionaire and hires his kid. If you got that type of pull and you can do that, hey, you get your kid in the door. But I remember playing for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Tice used to say this to all the kids that went to Maryland, because that's where he went to school. Uh-huh. Maryland might have got you here, but Maryland won't keep you there. So Bronny's there now. But LeBron ultimately ain't going to keep him there, because sooner or later, LeBron's going to retire. And then if Bronny can't make it on his own, then that's going to be it. But, hey, I would love to see LeBron go to Golden State, because he's not winning nothing in L.A. And either he's going to Golden State or Steph Curry is going to L.A.
Oh, don't do that to us. See, now I feel like hanging up the phone.
I love you, man.
Now I feel like hanging up the phone.
I feel like me and him have done the show all summer.
No, Jim, I hear you.
Steph is so good. What is he going to do? Is he just going to just finish his career being a, what are they, they're the 11th seed
mediocre
right now?
Yeah, 21-20.
He still can play. Is he just going to finish the next, you know, 3-4 years, because he could still play at that level of his ability to shoot, just playing on a Golden State team that's mediocre at best, playing for a plan seed?
He's a lifer. They will figure this out, Jermaine. I'm not letting you do that.
He ain't pulling a Paul Pierce.
Real quick, Jermaine, what are your thoughts on your former coach Belichick taking a college job?
Yeah.
North Carolina.
I was shocked. I didn't think it. I thought maybe, and I still think maybe, he goes there for 1 year, you know, coaches, has North Carolina do well, and then goes back to the NFL. But I was absolutely stunned that no one gave him an opportunity. Wow. There were no teams out there. Yeah, I was shocked. I'm stunned by that. But the bigger stunner is going to be if the 49ers give Brock Purdy $60 million. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
Why? Why? Like, give me everything on Brock Purdy.
Because I wouldn't personally give him $60 million a year. But he's shown that he's a good enough quarterback to be able to, you know, be a starter. But I don't know. You got to tell me, is he worth $60 million a year as a franchise guy?
Jermaine, it's funny that you bring this up, because me and him differ on this. I'm like, look, like, he's a really good player. And this thing that, like, the market is the market. No. Deshaun Watson got $250 million guaranteed, and nobody's given anybody $250 million guaranteed. He's a good player. He deserves a pay raise. But I'm with you. Like, he's in the tick below all those top six or seven guys. You can win a lot of games with him. I don't want to move him, but I also don't want to break the bank to get him. Every $5 million I can save is another playmaker, another offensive lineman, etc. So I'm with you. I want to keep him, but I'm really interested how much he makes. Like, I don't want to overspend.
I think people are freaking out. The way they're going to structure this contract will be team-friendly and player-friendly. And I don't even think the money's going to kick in right away with Brock Purdy. But I always ask, what are the alternatives? Do you really want to give Sam Darnold a lot of money?
I agree with you, but you're probably going to lose Debo, because you know he wants out. McCaffrey, you can't really trust him because of his injury issues. Right. Kittle's getting older. You got Ayuk, who's going to be coming off an ACL. I know the kid Jennings and the Pascal kid are pretty good wide receivers. It seems like if he doesn't have those players around him, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I know that's what the market is, and that's the question that you guys are going to have to ask, especially you go from a team that I thought you'd be right in the Super Bowl hunt, but you didn't even make the playoffs. So,
Debo, what do you think about Debo? Because the fan base, we were talking about Draymond and some of the fans turning on Draymond. The switch on Debo has been just as loud, I believe.
Yeah.
When it comes to Debo Samuel, we don't think Debo. I don't know if he could get off press man, if he could beat bump and run, but Debo had a down year, Jermaine. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be back.
Well, guess what? We'll take him here in New England, because you got to utilize him the right way. He's a guy that you can use in multiple ways. You can put him in motion. You can run reverses. You can put him in the backfield. I think the biggest thing, and you guys probably know better than I do, is you kind of switched up his role a little bit, because he wasn't that wild card guy you can use any longer, you know, where you had him all over the place. And to me, we'll take him in New England, because I know he's probably going to want to be out, because they look at Ayuk and the kid Pascal, who look like he's really coming on, and he might just be odd man out.
Oh, you take Devo on New England.
Before you leave, real quick. I was watching The Town the other day, and I love that movie, you know, with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, it's
there's
a lot
of great Boston movies, The Departed, et cetera. What's the number one for you, Boston movie?
The number one Boston movie for me, I would probably, The Town, I think a lot of people lean towards The Town. I'd probably go with The Town or The Departed. Those two up there are pretty good, you know? Mm. Hey, don't ask me no questions. We're going to crack some heads. Whose car we taking?
I miss you, bro. Have a good one. You're a good man.
Hey, I don't know if we're going to see you in the final soon, Jermaine, but when we do, we can't wait.
Probably not.
All right, you guys take care, all right?
Have a good one, man.
You too, Jermaine. Jermaine Wiggins here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
I love that guy.
Bundle of joy. I like the whole crew over there at the Greg Hill Show. They treated us so well out there. You talk about hospitality. They showed us a lot of hospitality at WEEI.
They really did.
I can't say the same for WIP, 94 WIP in Philadelphia. They didn't even want to get our studio set up. What, a producer ran into our studio, almost kicked his ass. You got into it with somebody before the game. You punked the dude. Whoever that guy was before the show, you just straight up punked him. He said nothing.
I don't even remember that.
Angelo Cataldi, we almost...
I've never heard this story. I heard about you and the producer, Shasky.
So we got there.
I was so angry.
We got there. We're angry. We're in our Niners gear. And so Shasky's like... You know, can we get into our studio so we can set up? And it was this little white kid who was like snarky with Shasky. So Shasky gets into it and was like, screw you, blah, 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 blah. So the guy shut up for the rest of the day. He was done. And then finally they led us into the studio like 4 minutes before we went on the air. And one of their producers in the first segment ran into the studio and yelled something. And I said, get the hell out of here. I think it was on the air. I was like, get the hell out of here.
Hugh Douglas was in sweatpants.
Right.
And he's like, hey, man, I like you guys. He was actually hella cool to us.
He was cool with us. He was like, man. And then Seth Jordan was in there. Angelo Cataldi, he started talking. I started talking to them, talking trash.
And he kicked you out.
Yeah, he kicked you out. You tried to go to the studio. Yeah, and he was like, get the hell out of here. But then apparently my buddies out there in Philadelphia told me that Cataldi was a little afraid of me. He goes, that other guy's pretty big, man. He probably would have kicked my ass, but that's why I have you here, Seth Joyner. You know, screw Philadelphia,
they're
WIP.
Always coming at the short guys.
You know what I'm saying? Screw that place, man. They showed us no hospitality. WEI did the complete opposite.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm saying this jokingly. There's nobody who's a bigger commie this week than me. I mean, geez Louise. Let's go, Jaden Daniels. I said that purposefully. Spadoni, I wanted to see you smile. Let's go, Jaden Daniels.
He didn't smile. He just
Daniels.
Said, I had to press the dumb button.
What?
It definitely caught our attention. We'll say that.
We did the dumb button once for Jermaine. So
McCarthyism this week. That's what it is.
Relax.
Going history. No, I'm teasing. But on the
it's
real.
An inauguration sensation.
If the Eagles win.
On Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
If the Eagles win.
Right.
If the Eagles win.
Boy.
It's just going to be a lose-lose for me. I cannot get two more weeks of the Eagles. I need them out of my life.
I would love for the Commanders to win that game.
Ugh.
I just don't think they're doing it.
Rookie to go to the Super Bowl?
My heart says I'm rooting against Philadelphia. I actually thought the Eagles were going to win big yesterday. I was a little surprised that it was close. Kudos to the Rams for playing hard. They did. They were in that game. Their defense played a lot better than I thought they could. Verse was in that backfield all night long. Witherspoon's making plays. He's got special handshakes out there. What the hell's going on with Akello Witherspoon? Where was this player at 5 years ago?
Bonte, dare I say, if he goes to the Super Bowl this year, it's the greatest rookie year in the history of sports.
Oh, Jaden Daniels?
Magic Johnson is remembered for playing the five, you know what I mean, and all that, like early in his career.
Did win a championship, yeah.
They did have Kareem. Up until that point.
Up until that point, he got
and
hurt.
I'm not taking anything away from Magic. Like, come
he
on.
Finals
most
MVP,
people
though.
Couldn't
yeah,
name.
I mean, Magic.
Most people couldn't name a commander outside of Terry McLaurin or maybe Robinson and Eckler. Like,
it would be a great rookie season. Magic's a soft.
I know. Bonte, he's the quarterback.
Double game six.
Running what
he's
doing.
But he's a point guard of the LA Lakers, and he came off a national championship.
I'm not trying to diminish
against Michigan
Magic.
State. So, yeah, let's not do that.
No,
let's just say, you could say this. It's maybe the greatest rookie season in sports since Magic Johnson. And hell, we're omitting Larry Bird, who won the Rookie of the Year award and lost to the Eastern Conference Finals.
If you, as a rookie,
in the NBA,
go to the Super Bowl, and if he beats, let's just say, hypothetically, Mahomes or Josh Allen, I think I'd put it up as one of the greatest
Mahomes
seasons of all time.
If he beats Mahomes, then yes.
That's the greatest rookie season ever in any sport,
right.
If he beats Mahomes.
That's what makes Magic's. I mean, they won the championship.
And rookies in the NBA don't have a lot of success in the postseason. Rookies in the NFL, I get it, don't have a lot of success in the NFL. But we have seen second-year quarterbacks have a lot of success in the NFL.
But not with a team like this.
Starting way back with Dan Marino and the Miami Dolphins when he threw for over What do you throw for 5 G's that year in 84? Boy.
Yeah, but they weren't the number two overall pick with a new coach, a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new quarterback, drafting number two overall, new GM, new owner. Like, this has been one of the most remarkable turnarounds in one season that I can ever think of.
It's a magical ride, a magical run for
first
them.
One ever, too. Yeah, last five to do it to get to this point.
Yeah,
I lost.
Big Ben.
Yep. Sean King, Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez, and Brock Purdy.
Wow.
Who got hurt six plays into the game.
I think they've got a great chance. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I mean, they've got the best player on their...
What's the spread on this game?
Gosh.
What's the spread right now on this
game? 5.5?
5.5 for Philadelphia?
What's the weather going to be?
We just looked that up. About 40 degrees?
Yeah, it's going to be cloudy. It's not... Like, snow or rain is not in the forecast, but...
It was only 30, and it was snowing. That's what they kept saying.
5.5 points, yes, currently. This is according to DraftKings right now.
5.5. Now, they played the Commanders twice. They split. The second game, Jalen Hurts got hurt in the first quarter, and the Eagles lost 36-33. They would have sealed that game had Devontae Smith caught a quick slant for a touchdown. He didn't. Didn't seal the game, so the Commanders go down the field. They score. They win 36-33. The first game was Thursday Night Football. It was Thursday Night Football. Saquon Barkley had a big night, 26 carries, 146, two touchdowns. Jayden Daniels didn't play bad. If I'm not mistaken, they kind of blew it late in the game, if I recall. They weren't running note in the hurry-up offense or whatnot. They were kind of just lackadaisical, knowing that they were down 8. But going into the fourth quarter, they were leading 10-6, the Commanders. So